Dave Fanning on 2FM.
Okay, let's see. A star of Broadway, the West End, movies, TV's even been a chart topper. Not bad, eh? A chart topper. I forgot about that bit. He's laughing already.
Twice.
Anyway, he's back now with a new one-man show in January at the Olympia, and he's here with me now. Pat Short, very welcome back. You were here a little while back, but that was the treading the boards. That was theatre.
Now,
let's just take a look at two things you're doing now that I want to talk about. The live shows I'll talk about in a minute. Back on the big screen this week, too, though, in Belly of the Whale. It's a movie, can be seen in cinemas. What is it?
Oh God, good question. It's kind of a bromance, really, between this character Ronald that I play, who's in his 60s, and this young fella. What happens is Ronald gets down in his luck. He's trying to get money to pay for his wife's drugs to keep her alive, and he gets tipped off at this AA meeting that if he buys all these Chinese toys and sells them to this arcade out the road, he'll get the money. Of course, it's all a scam and he's been ripped off all his money. So he's down in his luck, and he goes and he stays the night in the caravan park, which is shut down and derelict, and this kid has come back from being away at his relations in Scotland because there was an incident that happened with his dad. And there's a party on the same night as Ronald is there, and they burn down his camper van by accident. So the two boys, they kind of...
You did throw in there by accident. They didn't mean to do it.
I don't think so. No, they didn't. It was an accident. But of course, then he feels that he owes something to Ronald. So they go on this to get the money back off the arcade, or to get the money that he thinks he's... They go to rob the arcade, and that's how they kind of become good mates. They concoct this robbery together, and the rest go and see it.
So what are we talking about here? Black comedy?
Brutal. It's not so much comedy. It's I wouldn't call it a dark film as such, in the sense of dark and kind of gritty like that. It's more kind of brutal and savagery kind of with these guys, and it's kind of out there. It's fairly nuts.
So it's nuts, and it's a tough watch for some people, maybe.
There's humour in it. Definitely humour in it, but it's kind of more. It's kind of raw kind of film. I think it was in the Chicago Film Festival there, and they likened it to a Coen Brothers movie.
So. Well, have you seen the current Coen Brothers movie?
I have.
That's pretty brutal and tough.
There you go.
The Ballad of Your Man Scruggs. Anyway, okay, so you have your man, comic turned actor Michael Smiley, is there. He owns the local politician who owns the place.
He
owns the arcade itself. So you are Ronald Tanner.
That's it.
So in the middle of all this, you've got Art Parkinson from Game of Thrones, Peter Coonan from Love Hate, Lauren Kinsler from You're Ugly Too. I'm only saying this to put them into some kind of perspective. But basically, it's a quick rich scheme that doesn't really happen. And of course, it was never going to happen in the first
place.
And
the Oafle is a great actor as well. Ewan, he's from Monster Call, that movie. He was the Oafle in that one. But he's a young Scottish guy. He's great.
Well, then, working with young talent like, you know, Lewis McDougall and Art Parkinson and that, very interesting. I'm sure you're looking, though, and saying, hey, listen, lads, I'll show you how it's done. I've made many a movie.
No, it's kind of funny, though. You make the movie with them and they're 13 or 14, and then you come back to see the preview a year and a half later, and they're shaving.
Well, of course. Especially at that age.
But there's actually great. I mean, you won't learn that kid. She's an absolute amazing actress. I think she's fantastic, and it's great to see. It's amazing to see how confident they are and how good they are and how screen savvy they are. You know, that just the performance.
You started at what age? 18 or so, thereabouts?
I started on the road at 18 to kind of sound engineer, lighting engineer, and messing around with saxophone, playing music with bands and with John, you know. So, and then I kind of, with John, everything was always a bit of comedy and crack. So I ended up writing stuff with John, and then after about 2 or 3 years working with John, for nearly 4 years actually, we got a sound engineer on their own, and I went up on the stage more and got off from behind the desk, you know. So that's kind of how I always kind of say, like, I put down my apprenticeship on the road with John in that respect. Learned the craft and all the rest of Harry. Like, my daughter's in the Getty School of Acting at the moment, and I'm amazed every time I'm talking to her how much she knows, you know.
Of course.
You realise she's getting it all condensed in 2 years course, you know. It's fantastic. I spent a lot of time learning all those things.
Well, listen, we're coming into Christmas, as you well know. All manner of TV specials coming up, including one featuring yourself. You had over a million viewers for your Killing a Scully there a while back. The Secret to a Christmas special. I remember The Office, my favourite TV programme of all time. And then I heard, okay, they're going to do one series, they're the second series, great, leave it at that. They're going to do a Christmas special. Oh, no, don't, you're going to blow it. And it was the best Christmas special I've ever seen in my life. It was such a great ending.
Yeah.
Well, you're going to say you didn't like the ending.
I didn't remember it.
Oh, I didn't.
I don't remember
It was fantastic. So is there anything special about a Christmas special that, like, if you think if you get that right, you're kind of set for at least January, February, March in terms of live on the boards?
I don't know. I mean, like, if you do a good show, I think we've got a good show. It's different what we're doing now than what we would have been doing, like Killescully and comedy shows and that. Sometimes my fear with the shows when we're doing Killescully is that you don't do an hour long, because an hour long special is like a movie, and it really needs to be addressed like a movie, treated like a movie, because you need to have it in that. Whereas a lot of times the TV channels are to treat an hour long like a half hour, and it's just too long. It's not.
Yeah, but I presume Pat Short's Christmas music from De Telly is going to be an hour long at least, isn't it?
Yeah, but of course it's a different thing. It's a different animal, because we're using a lot of archive and stuff like that. So it's easy to narrate and bring the audience along. That, and we got some great stuff on it. I mean, there's some great. Dolores O'Riordan is in it, which is, you know, it's really nice to get her in after the year that has been.
Yeah, and is it a Christmassy stuff that they're doing? Kind
Nearly all the artists that we've picked on, it has to be a Christmas theme. Yeah.
Right.
And Christmassy stuff.
So you're talking like everything from St. Patrick's Cathedral Choir with the James Last Orchestra, the Corrs, Colin Wilkinson, Anuna, Jerry Lee Lewis, and with Dolores and that,
No, it's this great stuff there. Right. I have to say, it's a while since I put it together now, so I can't remember that.
I remember doing the pop quiz thing, you know, in the middle of summer we were dressed up as kind of Santa Claus and stuff, you know, and Jerry Ryan as Scrooge or something, you know. And
it was hot
outside.
We used to do Killescully Christmas special, and we used to try and avoid shots with trees in the background.
Oh, right, yeah, of course.
Full bloom.
Well, they have to be leafless. Anyway, by the way, who do you think you are? Sorry, it was the name of the television programme. Pat Short, who do you think you are?
Who do you really think?
You went to the programme to find out who your family history and that.
Yeah.
Your dad kind of didn't take too kindly to it, but he wasn't very impressed, was he?
It's classic, your old man puts you on the spot at the end of it, you know. I was supposed to come in with the reveal of, so what did you learn, Pat, on your journey through the family history? And I go, well, you know, Dad, would you believe I found this out? And he went, yeah, I could have told you that. And I went, yeah, but I found this other thing out. Yeah, I knew that as well. I'm going like, Jesus.
Could he go back a few generations? Because he just knew.
Oh, well, he knew a lot of the stuff, and I'm sure he told us a lot of the stuff. But you know, you're young. Yeah. You listen to it over
in
there.
In one ear, out the other ear.
Yeah, out the door you go, like, you know. Right. So I assume he knew a lot of the stuff. I definitely know there's a couple of things he didn't know.
And any famous highwaymen or anything like that, or any bank robbers or actors?
Well, I did say to my dad, look, because I was asked to do the show, I rang around and said, look, lads, are you all happy with this as a family members? Because it's your family, my family, you know. So everyone was happy because everyone's interested in tracing and all that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I said to my dad, show us the worst that can happen. We find a murderer.
Absolutely.
We found one.
Yeah, you're going to say that, really?
So we did. Yeah, it was my great-granduncle. It was really interesting because the show, it was left hanging because it's an unsolved murder. So it was a very famous case, to make it really short, down in Tipperary, where a magistrate was shot. And this is a couple of reasons why it was famous. There was a load of people that could have done it, and the cops at the time, RIC, everyone was back to Dublin Castle. That's where all the information that we had on it came from, Dublin Castle. There could have been numerous people that killed him. My great-granduncle was put in jail at the time in Clonmel, accused of the murder.
You keep saying at the time. When was this?
1869 actually was the exact year.
Right.
And what made the case famous was two things. Was he was a magistrate and a landlord that was murdered, and also it was one of the first forensic cases in Ireland.
Oh, really?
Where the doctor that discovered how to get trace blood samples from clothes and everything to a crime scene and link you to the crime scene. It had only been just developed. There was a couple of years before. There was a few cases with it in, but none as prominent as this case. So it made international news as well as local news. And he got off with the murder because there was no, they couldn't trace the evidence.
Did he do it?
Well, this is the thing. I got a text after the show.
Did you ask your dad?
I know.
Does
my
dad,
know
that?
My dad didn't know, because it was my mother's side of the family. And my dad, I got a text from a woman, Mary, who was maths teacher to my daughter and used to come to our house all the time. And this guy's name was William Alice. I didn't realise the name had a connection to my family. It was my great cousin, you know, it lost to me. And it turns out her name was Alice. And she said, we have the gun.
What? Really? Wait a minute, her surname is Alice.
Her surname is Alice. Right, okay. And their family had the gun. So she was a relative of mine, indirectly, which I didn't know. She didn't know until this programme came out. And obviously when he'd done shot your man, they buried the gun there. So her relation, which would be my relation as well, his grandsons came back from America in 1966, which was 50 year anniversary of the Rising, and they went down to the family and they dug up the gun and gave it to the two boys, the two grandsons, who would have been middle aged men at the time. And there's actually newspaper clippings. The story was printed in one of the national papers in Ireland at the time, because of the commemoration of 1916. They were interested in those stories of those kind of things, landlords and
right, yeah.
So there's documentation there with the guys. There's a photograph in the paper, which they have. I haven't seen it myself yet, of the lads holding the boy, the gun.
Yeah, I'm just wondering, have you given away, like, if this is one of these cold case things and they do it again, this interview could be used in court.
It could be used. I think you're going back a bit too far for it. But it was an interesting case. The what was interesting about the whole thing, Dave, was not just the shooting and the murder and all, like I said, but it also the historian in Clonmel, the doctor down there, who great guy, very interesting guy, he said it really turned on its head our perception of Victorian Ireland big house,
right,
because it was seen as a time of promiscuity, or not promiscuity, but conservatism and all that.
Well, this would be 20 years after the famine.
Yeah.
1867, you said,
and they were all riding each other down there, something wicked.
Really?
Yeah.
Riding each other, something wicked, I see. Right, okay. Fair enough.
That's the only way to describe it.
I see. All right, okay, so you had to get shot. Okay, where were we? By the way, let's go on something even more interesting. The Tipperary Tulip Pageant.
That's right.
Tell me about the Tipperary Tulip Pageant.
Well, you're moving into a whole other realm there now. It's a my own show, Hey, or it's pronounced Hey, as in hello.
Yeah, that's H-E-Y, exclamation mark.
Anyway, I suppose all the shows in the past, One Hell of a Do, based on a wedding, In the Hall was based on a cinema. I remember my childhood going to the cinema and everything. This one I've based loosely on a beauty pageant called the Tipperary Tulip Festival. Kind of a rose tree, except we've got tulips. And,
okay, you gotta come from Amsterdam. Hold on a second. So this is on the boards. You, one man
show. I'm in Olympia on the 10th. I'm going to be traveling around the country, like Cork, Limerick, and everywhere. But we're kind of starting the tour early January in the Olympia, 10th, 11th, and 12th. Three nights there,
something.
No, forward to my first time doing a solo gig in the Olympia, which is great. I've gigged there before with John, and I remember playing with the Stunning there a few times before as well.
And how long is it since you've done a kind of a, if you like, a one man show at all, let alone the Olympia?
I've been touring. This show started up in. I've been touring a bit.
This is the point I'm making. You're doing your stuff on stage. You're doing your stuff in movies. You've done a lot of movies down through the years as well, and you do the live stuff too. I mean, are you taking Christmas off?
Yeah. No, like, funny enough, the way the industry falls, these, like, the Belly of the Whale I did nearly 2 years ago, Dark Lies the Island is another film coming out we did last year. That's coming out in the new year, and we're starting another one later in the year, starting another movie and a couple of TV shows as well and stuff. So it kind of, and then it all kind of falls at certain times, and it looks like you're up the walls.
Yeah.
But you're actually, I'm just touring at the moment, out every weekend and touring around and doing radio shows and the like and everything else, you know. So you kind of you're out there working away, but they all kind of fall at different times.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, and the audience participation stuff. Have you ever met any of the people that you how shall I put this, embarrassed, even with a small
I don't
in the
embarrass
past?
Anybody at all. No, that's the whole thing. The joke is on me, David, not them. You know, I wouldn't embarrass anybody. I talk to the audience as if I know them. That's really what it is.
Yeah.
I use them as a kind of crux more than use them as such, you know.
Right, and so the joke really is on you.
Ah, totally, yeah. And that's when it's funny. If it's on them, it's not
and
funny.
And do you burn the midnight, whatever it is, at some stage during the summer, maybe just writing these things in terms of having to get it right, in terms of this is what I'm going to do?
I spend a couple of months working on it. But, the funny thing is when you are working with an audience and getting out in front of them, so I think it's particular with comedy anyway, you never know it's going to work until you walk out in front of an audience.
No.
And sometimes, inevitably, your first run of shows, bag of nerves, you're going too fast, all things are all over the place.
Yeah, exactly.
It takes time to settle down, and then some stuff just doesn't work, so you weed it out and
okay, well, look, you mentioned something about another movie. There's one you've already done that's coming out again, and not just the one that I just mentioned earlier on, which is the one that's out now, Belly of the Whale.
Yeah.
But there's also another one which you finished about a year ago. What's that?
Dark Lies the Island?
Yeah, Dark Lies the Island.
That's Ian Fitzgibbon is the director, and Kevin Barry wrote it. And people would be familiar with Kevin's books and some of his films, actually. He's done a few movies. But he's... I suppose he really looks at the dark side of Irish society and stuff like that, really does into it. This is, I can only describe it as fairly dark now. I can't really talk about it at this hour of the day, any hour of the day.
Okay, well, hold on a second. So Dark Lies of the Island's coming out first. And yes, like, I mean, there is a thing which I'll give a quote here. It says, according to some newspaper here it is, he's working on more film projects and examining the possibility of a new character-driven comedy with RTE.
Oh, well, that's, well, yeah, yes and no. I mean, what I said was, someone asked me, a journalist, would I like to do some more stuff? I said, yeah.
Right.
And
but what's the other movie that you haven't mentioned that will be,
oh, I can't really talk about it now because
that's fair enough.
We're literally
yourself and Martin Scorsese have said no, we're not going to talk about it just yet.
Well, okay. I hate talking about stuff until they're actually
characters. Yeah, right, you know, yourself. That's true as well. You know, well, here's what we can talk about, Pat. It's been a real pleasure, by the way, and happy Christmas to you. Pat Short presents Hey with an exclamation mark at the Olympia Theatre in Dublin on the 10th, the 11th and the 12th of January, just around the corner, that is, and also everywhere from basically Killarney to Enniskillen, north, south, east and west, basically. And tickets are on sale from Ticketmaster, etc. And tour dates you can check out patshort.com. Three T's because there's one at the end of Pat. Goodbye.
Thank you
very much. Thanks, Pat. Dave. Good luck. See you. Goodbye. Dave Fanning on 2FM.